Now we go to the Revolution Hotline and talk to Melvin Watkins, University of Arkansas assistant basketball coach. Coach, welcome to the zone, first of all, and congratulations on last night's victory.
Well, I appreciate that, and glad to be on this morning.
That was a hard-fought one last night. I don't think anybody was surprised, at least those who looked into a little bit about Robert Morris, but did you kind of get what you expected from them?
We sure did, and maybe even a little bit more. But we knew they were a good basketball team. We knew they were a veteran team, and anytime you get good guard play like that, then, you know, it can make for a long evening. And, of course, they came in and tried to stick to their game plan and gave us all we wanted. But at the end of the day, we were able to, you know, survive that game and move on.
Do you see any challenges more during a Christmas break, getting these players focused? Or is there any kind of connection to that and when they're in their routine going to class?
Well, you're always concerned about that, and you would think when you got a veteran team, you don't worry about it as much. And, of course, we got a lot of young guys that have never been through it, and that is something that has surely been some conversation for us. And even going to the game last night, we wanted to make sure we didn't start thinking about going home and eating mom's cooking before we finished
that's
up
exactly
the work
right.
at home.
Yeah.
And,
Coach,
and so, you're always concerned about that.
Now, are you on your way down to Little Rock right now? Are you driving? You know, taking the big...
We just got in town, Coach Hanson and myself, and the team is coming down a little later.
Did you drive or did he drive?
You know, the day we talked about that, he drove today. Normally, that's me behind that wheel, but he took charge and navigated us and got us here safely.
It was funny because they would always make jokes about the previous coaching staff. The drive from Fayetteville to Little Rock might be 5 hours, but Coach Anderson, the fastest 40 minutes of basketball, he probably does it in about an hour, doesn't he?
Well, about 40 minutes, I think. He knows on a shortcut.
Yeah,
he talked about the pig trail, and I'm not familiar with that, but he talked about it. So.
Well, Coach, let me tell you something. That is a long cut, not a short cut. That is not a place you want to go, although it is quite scenic this time of year.
I was told that stay off there if at all possible.
That's exactly right. Well, yeah, you got to be searching that out if you're trying to get over there. Melvin Watkins, Arkansas assistant coach, joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Coach, we were talking in the break a little bit about Hunter Mickelson and his development. Obviously, had a big second half for you guys last night. Talk about Hunter and what you've seen from him and what you'd like to see from him going forward the rest of the season and throughout his career.
Well, the thing with Hunter, you know, we've often said he's a work in progress, and you know, he comes to practice every day with his hard hat, and so a kid like that, with the skill set that he has, that can step out on the floor and extend one's defense, you know, we just excited that he comes in every day ready to work, ready to try to get better, really does a good job of taking coaching and so forth. A young man like Hunter, you know, you're just going to see him continue to grow in our program, and I think you're seeing some of that now. And unfortunately for some of these kids, they come in with so high expectations that they think they should walk on the court and it should happen for him right away. But there's a learning curve there. I think you've seen Hunter go through that, and he's still in that curve. But last night he surely stepped up big for us, and we think that potential is there. And it's just got to take time to mature, and he continues to grow as a basketball player. Because Coach and I were talking about that. Hunter, you grew up a little bit of playing baseball, fisherman probably, a little bit of a hunter. Mm-hmm. And, and now because of his size, everyone would think that he's going to come in and dominate. And he's going through what most of the freshmen and sophomores go through, that growing curve. But he's doing a good job for us.
Coach, in your estimation, we always talk about let me ask it this way, I guess, the teaching of the defense and the style. A lot of these kids will come into a program, and they like to run, they like to press. They've maybe done a little of that in high school and AAU, but the way that you guys teach it is very different, and especially with the conditioning. When you get a kid, how long will it take for you to put your imprint on that kid to get him to do what you want him defensively?
You know, that's really interesting what you said, because a lot of people do not understand that. And we got kids that come in and, you know, some of them being highly recruited and have the accolades of what they've done in high school. And then they come and, as you said, they talk about playing up-tempo basketball. And some of them have done it to a certain degree, but this is totally different than anything they most experienced in. And it takes a while. Some will pick it up sooner than others, but it will take a while for them to adjust to the changing from offense to defense as quickly as we want to do it, and not having time to celebrate. And so And even where our practices are, I mean, if you were to come to one of our practices, it's all out getting after it every day. And it's a, you know, you're trying to condition the body, but you're also trying to condition the mind to play this way. And it just takes a while. And as I said, some will pick it up, some others. But what we try to do is, you know, those that can, you know, we'll spoon feed them. And, you know, we will not, and particularly look at a kid like Hunter, mm-hmm. with his size and all, and trying to make that transition to play this way. You know, he's picked it up a lot sooner than we thought he probably would. But even there, it's still, he's in that, as I said earlier, that learning curve where he's trying to figure out how can I go from offense to defense this mm-hmm. fast, and the rotations and the getting there. And but it's a beautiful thing when they do pick it up, and we can put it and show it to our fans in the fashion that it should be shown.
You've been a guy that's played the game, and I want to get into your Charlotte career a little bit after that, ask you about Cedric Maxwell, playing with him. But when you deal with a guy like B.J. Young, who comes off last season, projected to possibly be first-round NBA draft pick, he comes back, and how do you deal with him, his approach to the season, when you know you're dealing with a guy that is going to get drafted, who knows how high, but how do you keep him grounded on the team now, but also try to get him prepared for the NBA draft? How does that dynamic work?
Well, I can just take a lot of dialogue.
With him, I imagine you get a lot of dialogue anyway.
He has a lot of confidence. The beauty of it, he has a lot of confidence in what he brings to the table. But at the same time, he can slow his growth down by thinking that he's already arrived. And he's not unlike a lot of kids today when they come into college. Have accomplished some things on the high school level. But, you know, to his credit, he's really trying to embrace the way we want to play. Now, you think about B.J., he has all the speed, but really B.J. naturally don't want to play this fast. So at times we have to say, B.J., get off the ball, mm-hmm. and you run and feel the length. He really want to gravitate to getting the ball in his hands. But if you see him doing that a lot, he's slowing us down. So that's been something that we've really, particularly the last couple of weeks, that we've been saying, B.J., you let some of the other guards bring it, and you feel the lane. But, you know, going back to his high school days, he dominated the basketball. So that's been something that, you know, he's got to adjust to it, and he's trying to pick it up. But when he does that, he becomes a better basketball player playing off the ball, learning how to play without the ball as opposed to with the ball in his hand all the time.
Coach, it's interesting you say that, because when I was playing for Coach Richardson, Kareem Reed, who was, you know, an all-world point guard, mm-hmm. he actually would slow up our fast break down a lot of times, because he would come back and try to get the ball as opposed to running the lane and the big man or whoever gets the rebound just starting to break right away.
Well, that's what you experienced with B.J. So you understand it. You've played in the system. You know what I'm talking about. But one would think that with his speed, no way that can happen, Coach, but it does. And that's something that we are trying to get B.J. to understand as we speak, that, you know, you get away from the ball sometimes. Have yourself coming back to it, even from a downstream or a backstream, but come back to the ball as opposed to thinking you've got to get the ball and bring it all the time.
Yeah, those are little things people don't pick up, Coach, unless you come on the zone and tell them about it.
Well, we try to educate them, but the beauty of it is you understand the system, you played in the system, so you surely can identify with some of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, he can identify, Coach. He doesn't share with the rest of us, so don't know as much. So, but occasionally he'll let us in on days like today. Arkansas Associate Head Coach Melvin Watkins joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline. Coach, I was going to ask about the free throw disparity last night. This is a team that shot 8 more threes than you guys did, and they shot 10 more free throws. I guess talk to me a little bit about the mentality and how much you guys talk about getting to the line and how much of a focus that is for the way you play.
Well, we often tell our guys, and even in pregame shoot-around yesterday, we were talking about that we need to get to the line. We actually need to make more than they shoot, and that's usually a pretty good formula for winning a basketball game. If you started breaking down different games and our team win games, you know, you've got to try to get to the foul line. So I knew coming in from their perspective and our scout report that they would try to be aggressive and attack us because, you know, they hear so much about 4 minutes of hell and how do you beat it and how do you get it. And most will tell you, you've got to try to attack it. So, and the fact that they had really good guard play, we knew that they were going to try to beat us off the dribble a lot and set up those three-point shooters, and they did that. And that's why I think we put them on the line a little bit. They attacked us a little bit, and sometimes we didn't react to it and didn't move our feet. We reached and grabbed, and we got, you know, we put them on the line. And unfortunately, it didn't cost us last night But that's something we've got to do a better job of keeping guys in front of us.
Coach, tomorrow night, Verizon Arena, get a chance to showcase your program to the folks here in Central Arkansas. Talk a little bit about that. I guess the opportunity to be in front of the fans that don't always get the chance to see your team play in person, and also a little bit about the matchup with Alabama A&M.
Well, it's always good to get out around the state, because we know we've got Razorback fans all over the place here, and always come here, particularly with me coming here to recruit, and you run into people talking about Razorback basketball. So now we've got a chance that they don't have to get on the highway and drive up to Fayetteville, that we are bringing the product to them. And so we hope all our fans will come out and take a look at this team, the ones that haven't got a chance to see them in person. And then in terms of the matchup, to be quite honest with you, I watched our tape last night of the game and haven't looked at as much about the Alabama A&M. When I get off the phone, I plan on sticking a tape in and start looking at them. But I do know they will play a somewhat slower pace, would want to play a slower pace, and more of a half-court game, and try to grind it out a little bit. And, of course, that's not something we're going to sit back and let them do. We're going to surely want to create tempo. So it'll be a little bit of who can impose their will the most. But in terms of personnel, I've got to educate myself a little bit more on their style and their personnel.
Coach, on Fridays during the football season, which is, I guess, still going on because of bowl games, my preacher comes in. We call him the Pigskin Preacher. He is a great guy. He does a great job on Sundays. He's also a devout football and basketball fan, especially at the college level, and he grew up in Michigan, and we were reminiscing a little bit on the drive down here, and he was talking about some heartbreaking experiences you helped put him through. I don't think he's over. Pigskin, you're still not over this.
Coach, you seem like a good human being, so take this in the spirit in which it's offered. I have a big grievance to file against you on this Festivus.
Okay.
I was a kid growing up in Michigan. In 1976, the Wolverines got to the final game against Indiana, lost a heartbreaker against Indiana, an undefeated team. The next year, we were the number one team in the country. We finished the season the number one team in the country. We blew out a very good Marquette, which would go on to win the national championship
at the
last game of the year. We were in the Elite Eight, and I said, we're going back to the Final Four. We got a bunch of unknowns from some place called North Carolina Charlotte. There's some clown named Cornbread Maxwell and Chad Kinch and somebody named Melvin Watkins. And I'm like, they're not going to beat us. There's no way in the world. Mm-hmm. And you know how that game worked out. And I'm still upset about it, Coach.
You're still upset. Well, let me share this with you. I can vividly still remember we went in Rupp Arena. No one gave us a chance. We were playing Michigan. And the mistake that Michigan made before the game started, we both are coming in the tunnels there. Mm-hmm. And we laugh about it now, but they turn their nose up. You know, most teams used to kind of nod a little bit, and, you know, and, boy, we walked in, and they saw us like, who are you all country bumpkins? Thank y'all for coming in to play with us. But that was a little added motivation. So kind of blame your team for that. They should have done that. But they just at least said, you know, hey, guys, we respect that you've done a pretty good job to be here, but you're not going to beat us. But, no, they didn't. They turned their nose up at us.
So their arrogance caught them in their own net.
Now, Coach, who did
you guard in that game? Did you guard Ricky Green or Steve Grody?
Well, I messed up with Ricky Green, but I would have to tell you that I was constantly looking for help on him.
Ricky Green was quick as a cat.
He was a beast, and I'm, you know, this big 6'4", kind of football-looking body guy. So it was I sure didn't mind saying, hey, guys, I'm sending him your way, Cornbread. Help me out on this.
How many years did you play with Cedric?
We both came in as freshmen, so we were there all 4 years.
How did he get that nickname? How did he get his Cornbread nickname?
Oh, it was a movie called Cornbread Earl and Me. And we went to the movie, and one of our teammates said, Maxwell, you look like that guy on the movie. Who actually was what's the boy that played at UCLA, Keith?
Keith Wilkes.
Yes, and he
Jamal Wilkes.
And
yes.
We said you look a little bit like him, and from that day, and he did not like the name. So believe me, it was not something very flattering to him. Until we went to New York that year and played the NIT, and the media up there picked up on it. Then he realized, you know what? Maybe this name is not so bad after all.
Well, Coach, that game contributed to my religious development because that's the last time I prayed to the Lord for victory. When you guys went ahead and won, I said, the Lord does not care who wins games. I'm not bothering him with any more prayers. If we're losing to Cornbread Maxwell in his wrinkled jersey, then God doesn't care who wins games anymore. So I went in another direction. You guys played a great game. Great game.
It was a lot of fun, and, you know, particularly for a school like UNC Charlotte, which was, you know, not in the mecca of college basketball. We were there always in the shadows of ACC, and so for us to do that and have a great bunch of guys, it was a very special time for us.
Coach, what's the schedule for today? Will you guys shoot around today at the arena?
Yes, we will. Actually, we've got a pretty good schedule. We're going to go by the, I think, the kids' hospital and let our kids give back a little bit. And that should be a special moment for our guys. And then from there, we'll get a little something to eat and go to practice and try to get focused on, once again, getting our minds and getting away about going on for Christmas and focus on the game that we've got tomorrow evening.
Coach, you're going to be over at the tip-off luncheon at the Wyndham?
Yeah.
With Mike Anderson and Jeff Long will be over there. Send those guys our love. We appreciate them.
We will do.
This Merry Christmas.
Coach, have a great Christmas. Good luck this weekend. We will be there at the arena. Look forward to seeing the Hogs.
You get all your shopping done, Coach?
No, not yet. I want one more victory here, then we can talk about a little shop.
That's it. Your son is he still in high school now?
Was he? He's a senior at Fayetteville High, yes. He's playing some pretty good basketball, so we're trying to see where we might can find him a scholarship.
I'm sure you come up with one.
What are the NCAA rules on talking publicly about your son if he's a recruit? How does that work?
Well, you know, I take my coaching hat off, then I can put my father's hat on, and then I can talk about him.
So. Okay. we'll have to check him out this year a little bit. How's that team looking? They coming together all right?
Well, you know, they made it to the state championship game last year, and, of course, our Bobby Porter's here at Hall High School beat them this last year, so they think they can make it back that way, so we'll see. Time will tell.
All right. Well, Coach, good luck this weekend, and have a great Christmas.
Thank you, and we look forward to seeing all our Hawks fans out there come Saturday evening.
We're going to be there. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about it, Coach. I think we're going to have a great crowd. It's going to be a lot of fun, and going to have a good time.
Well, happy holidays to you guys, and we'll see you there.
Coach, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, my man.
All right, Melvin Watkins, Arkansas's associate.